News, it's 9:06.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. You can slice and dice all sorts of data when it comes to gauging economic health, but the one number most folks look at is jobs. And in that category, the Granite State continues to improve. New figures released just yesterday show New Hampshire unemployment in July was 5.1%, down from 5.6% a year ago. And in some sectors, you really see a difference in jobs gained from this summer over last. For example, tourism and leisure, as well as the healthcare field. Employment in retail is up also, and even construction and manufacturing have seen some improvement. Two industries that took it on the chops during the recession. So all in all, the Granite State's plugging along, pulling steadily away from those darker economic times. But here's what's giving New Hampshire economists pause these days. We seem to have lost our longtime position as New England's growth leader. For several decades, New Hampshire consistently outperformed its neighbors economically. But lately, Massachusetts and Vermont seem to have the magic touch, and that's caused some economic introspection here in the Granite State. Today in The Exchange, economic expectations for New Hampshire. Where the forecast's sunny, where it's not. Let's hear from you, too, from your own viewpoint. How does the economy look? If there's one solid economic sign for you, what is it? And what downsides do you see on the horizon? Also, if you run a business, are you in a holding pattern these days, or do you expect to hire? Give us a call. The Exchange number, 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. Send us a short email if you like, exchange@nhpr.org. You can also post a comment on our Facebook page. We have three guests. Dennis DeLay is here, economist at the New Hampshire Center for Public Policy Studies, and New Hampshire forecast manager at the New England Economic Partnership. Dennis, always nice to see you. Thank you for being here.
Good morning, Laura. Thanks for having me.
Also with us, Bob Sanders, longtime reporter at New Hampshire Business Review. And Bob, good to see you too, and thanks for your time.
Great to be back.
And also with us, Ross Cattell, chancellor of the Community College System of New Hampshire and New England forecast manager at the New England Economic Partnership. And Ross, good to have you too. Thanks for your time.
Yeah, good to be with you, Laura.
Well, and I'll ask you first, Ross, if I could. Those jobs numbers that just came out yesterday, looking pretty good for New Hampshire, with July unemployment 5.1%, a half a percentage point drop from last summer. What's your reaction, Ross?
Yeah, New Hampshire continues to slowly improve with recovery of the jobs lost during the last recession. And we still haven't recovered fully the jobs lost during the recession. And that compares to, for example, Massachusetts, which has already recovered all the jobs lost during the recession. But the good news for New Hampshire is that it's steady growth in employment across different sectors of the economy, as you described, including manufacturing and construction, which is quite significant, and that the unemployment rate continues to tick down, which is a good trend. And the New Hampshire economy continues to add jobs. So we're seeing an improving picture. For some people, it's not improving fast enough. And there's still concern about will New Hampshire, you know, restore the economic vibrancy, the growth that we had experienced previously? And will New Hampshire recover and get back in its position as the strongest economy in not only the New England region, but also the entire Northeast? And that had been the position of New Hampshire prior to the recent recession.
Right, something you've looked a lot at, Dennis DeLay, and we'll definitely get into that this hour. But first, Dennis, just your broad reaction to that report that just came out.
Well, again, I agree with Ross. It's good news to see the unemployment rate is, you know, still lower than the national average and is hovering, as you said, about 5.1%. But the other thing about, and Ross brought this up, is the other thing is that in a normal New Hampshire economy that's running on all cylinders, we'd expect to see an unemployment rate of about 3.5%, not 5. So we're probably 1.5 percentage points in the unemployment rate below our full potential. If you look at the job creation that's occurring, about half of the job creation that we've seen so far in this recovery has been in the low-wage job sectors. Leisure and hospitality, you already mentioned, retail trade, professional business services on the low-end type of jobs, in administration. And actually, we've seen at the same time, we've actually seen a decline in the government sector, which pays slightly above New Hampshire average wage. On the unemployment side, it still remains stubbornly high. And if you dig behind that, what you find out is that the level of unemployment is still higher than it was prior to the recession. And we have about 40,000 people that are unemployed in New Hampshire right now. We had about 20,000 or so prior to the Great Recession beginning. And on the unemployment side, initial claims, what we're seeing is an extension in the life of being unemployed. There are people that are remaining unemployed for longer periods of time. And that, I think, is a concern as well.
Yeah, so we're starting to dig into the story behind that headline of unemployment 5.1%. And often there is a story behind numbers like these. What do you think, Bob? What are some of the stories that you're seeing, hearing, reporting on behind these unemployment numbers?
Well, I actually haven't been reporting, but one of our colleagues has, about the whole grocery chain shutdown. 12 stores and hundreds of jobs, and plus all that vacant space. We've been doing very well about starting to fill some of the big box stores, and now we got 12 empty huge stores to go down. So that's one of the things. But I say that even after saying that generally, things have been steadily improving, but not quite steadily. That's maybe a misnomer. I think there's been an acceleration of improvement in the last few months or the last year or so. Take a look at some other numbers, and this is when we're talking about jobs and so forth. We also are talking about homes, people keeping their homes, people not going bankrupt. The numbers there have really increased. They're not quite they're back to pre-recession levels. Foreclosures went down 25%.
That's great, isn't it?
And the same double digits in bankruptcy for the last few years. Numbers haven't been like this since 07. In other words, people are not losing their homes anymore. They're not going bankrupt anymore. I mean, there are some, but not at recession levels. And yeah, those are the real tragedy. I mean, unemployment's a tragedy, but then the consequences of unemployment. We're not seeing that as much. I just looking at companies that we follow, public companies in particular, most of them are doing very well. Exports are roaring back. We were doing well with exports during the recession. We kind of fell off for a little bit. Now we're number one in growth in the nation. I just see a feeling that things are coming back, and it's not just slow and steady and boring. I see a start, acceleration. We're not back where we were, but I see a lot of optimism.
Well, that's real interesting what you said, Bob, about the sort of fundamentals of, you know, foreclosures and bankruptcies, which really tell us that something very bad is going on. And when you see such big improvements in those underground sort of figures, if I could put them, that is a positive sign, even if we aren't growing like crazy, like in Colorado or North Dakota, one of those places. I want to let everybody know we are going to be looking at that grocery store story next week, because it is real interesting to get two major chains within the space of 2 weeks closing many stores, many hundreds of people losing their jobs. So we'll be following up on that next week. I want to invite our listeners to join us now with their questions and comments. The number here in the exchange is 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange@nhpr.org. Today in the exchange, we're looking at the state of New Hampshire's economy as some good news continues to come in. We'd like your thoughts and reaction from your own personal economic standpoint. How do things look? If there's one good economic sign that gives you hope, what is it? And what concerns do you have about the economic future of New Hampshire? 1-800-892-6477 is our number. Email exchange@nhpr.org. You can also post a comment on our Facebook page. So, Ross Cattell, not to be a downer, because Bob is right, and you and Dennis made mention of this too. There's a lot of good stuff going on. But the New Hampshire Department of Employment Security just recently released an in-depth look at these jobs numbers that we've been talking about, looking at those who want to be working full-time but can only get part-time jobs, what some people call underemployment. Ross, what's your sense of underemployment in the Grand State?
Yeah, no, the report was very useful, and what it identified and highlighted was that if you include those who are underemployed, those who are working part-time who want to be working full-time, And then also add in those who have given up searching for jobs and are no longer included in what we often refer to as the official unemployment rate that you highlighted at 5.1% now in New Hampshire, that if you look at those who are working part-time, who want to work full-time, and those who have dropped out of the labor market, and include the the traditional way we look at unemployment, the unemployment rate doubles to over 11% in New Hampshire, and that's quite significant. So the 40,000 figure that Dennis talked about, people being unemployed in New Hampshire, jumps up to closer to 80,000, which is quite significant. And then if you look at those numbers in detail, what's really strongly affecting people's performance in the labor market is their educational attainment. Those with a college degree, an associate's degree that we award at the community college, or a bachelor's degree are about half as likely to be unemployed using any measure of unemployment than those without higher education. So it really speaks to the importance of having the appropriate skills and education for the New Hampshire economy and the economic consequences of not advancing to higher education in New Hampshire. So, you know, as you indicated, there's a lot below when you scratch the surface of that 5.1%. Sounds like, well, that's a relatively low unemployment rate, especially compared to the national unemployment rate, which is 2% higher. But then if you look at the broader definition of unemployment, that doubles. And then you look at people who have less than a college degree, there's a significant employment problem for that segment of the population.
Yeah, this matters, doesn't it, Dennis? Because
it does.
If you want full-time work and you can't get it, that's a big deal for you.
Right. Well, again, the Department of Employment Security also, a couple of months ago, looked at unemployment by occupation in New Hampshire. Some of the highest unemployment rates in New Hampshire right now are for those occupations that probably require the least amount of training and the least amount of education. So for transportation and moving occupations, the unemployment rate's about 12%. For farming and fishing, it's about 8.3%. For construction, about 9.6%. If you go down the list, the unemployment rate drops as you look at occupations that require more training. For computer and mathematical science occupations, the unemployment rate is 2.6%. It's about 1.9% for, you know,
Dennis,
healthcare professionals.
There. I apologize.
Sure, that's
short
okay.
Break.
This is The Exchange on NHPR. It's 919. Good morning. Looking for something to do on the weekend? Look no further than your NHPR member card. With it, you can take advantage of our August benefit of the month, 2-for-1 discount at the Silver Center for the Arts in Plymouth. For more about the member card and the doors it opens for you, visit nhpr.org. Support for NHPR comes from you, our members, and from Hillsborough House, a locally owned nursing facility improving the experience and delivery of rehab and residential care for over 50 years. Information at hillsboroughhouse.org. And North Branch Construction, celebrating 55 years in business, from custom-built homes to eco-friendly commercial buildings, on time, on budget. Find us on Facebook, LinkedIn, and northbranch.net. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, we're digging into economic recovery in the Granite State, looking at some of the good news that has come out lately about unemployment, foreclosures, home sales, all looking good. But we've been digging into the numbers and finding out that there are other stories underneath these figures, including that a lot of people who want to work full-time can only find part-time jobs. Join us with your calls, questions, comments. We want your own viewpoints on how the New Hampshire economy is doing. 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange@nhpr.org. You can also post a comment on our Facebook page. One more time, the number, 1-800-892-6477. And Ross Cattell, Bob Sanders, Dennis DeLay. Let's go to our listeners now. And Susan's calling from Londonderry. Hi, Susan. You're on the air. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. When I hear the numbers stated about 5.1% unemployment here in New Hampshire, which is relatively good, although we'd always like it better, I'm wondering how much of that number is for the people that are employed is really a reflection of the people that travel south to Massachusetts to relatively high-end jobs down there compared to the jobs that they can find here in New Hampshire.
So would the unemployment number look worse if we weren't so nicely situated next to Massachusetts? Is that what you're asking, Susan?
Exactly. Thanks.
Yeah. Okay. Bob, what do you think?
Well, it's a little bit that kind of segues into what I was thinking about. I don't think so. I think what we were saying before about the high tech, I hear from them, they want people. I haven't heard this from people from a long time, from manufacturers, even construction people. We need highly trained people. We can't find workers. I've been hearing that from companies over and over again.
In New Hampshire?
Yes, recently. I didn't hear it through the recession, obviously.
Yeah.
But they are saying that they have trouble finding people who are highly trained, who know how to work, and so forth, and that with some kind of college education or some kind of experience. And those kind of high-end people, they're coming – there are not enough jobs for them. They may be going to Massachusetts, but what I hear, most of the people in the southern end of the state are hiring these people. It's not if you have the skills, from what I hear, you can get the job.
Interesting. Yeah. And I know, Ross, you've looked at this as well, too, the proximity to Massachusetts and how it affects New Hampshire's economy, New Hampshire employment.
Right. Our population centers in New Hampshire are on the borders with other states. And New Hampshire actually rates in the top 10 of the 50 states in terms of percentage of our residents who work in another state and also residents in nearby states who work in our state. So there's a lot of Vermont and Maine and Massachusetts residents who actually work in New Hampshire. And then we have New Hampshire residents who work mainly in Massachusetts, but also in Vermont and Maine or other neighboring states. And I think that adds to the economic strength of New Hampshire as the larger labor and employment market that is available to New Hampshire businesses, but also New Hampshire residents. So if you're a resident of southern New Hampshire, and there's a job opportunity for you in Massachusetts, and you could still stay and keep your family in New Hampshire, I think that's a positive. And our role in the region is a positive, and we've benefited from our proximity to Massachusetts and also our other neighboring states. So I don't look at it as a negative. I look at it as how do we leverage our position with regards to our neighbors to the south and to the east and the west.
Susan, thanks for the call. And again, the number 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. You can also post a comment on our Facebook page, 1-800-892-6477. One more question. I think I'll throw this to you, Bob Sanders, about this idea that we talked about earlier, people wanting full-time but only able to find part-time. Some are saying that the Affordable Care Act may be in part to blame because it's going to require many, not all, businesses to provide health coverage to full-time workers. How big a factor do you think this might be, Bob? What are you hearing from the businesses you talk to about, I'm nervous about the Affordable Care Act. I think I'm going to keep everybody at that magic 29-hour mark because once you go over 30, you have to provide health coverage.
Well, there's that, and then there's the magic 50 number where after 50, you have to provide.
After 50 employees.
Yeah, have to provide health care. We're looking into that. We've heard that from some companies, but a lot of those companies are people who don't like Obamacare to begin with politically. And we've heard from other people the opposite. You know, we don't care. We're going to hire when we need to hire. There's more important things going on than that. A lot of people we've been shifting to part-time, and this is not just New Hampshire.
Our economy overall.
Yeah, economy for years to escape paying benefits. I mean, this is just one more benefit to escape. I don't think it's going to make a huge difference, basically, because that's been a general trend. I know from my one of my kids can't get hours. You know, they're only getting part-time hours and from a grocery store, actually, because they don't want to pay benefits.
Yeah.
And that's a common story. We've been hearing that for years. It's a way companies save money.
Again, our number, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. A couple emails I want to share with you. Here's one from Christopher in Manchester. Dennis, what's the latest, Christopher says, on the graying of the population in New Hampshire? And is this contributing to our falling behind Massachusetts and Vermont in terms of economic growth? Christopher, great question. Thank you.
Well, Ed, again, thanks for the question, Christopher. You know, New Hampshire is one of the third oldest state in the country if you look at New Hampshire's median age, you know, the halfway point, you know, the percent of people that are older and the percent of people that are younger. The two other older states in happen to also be in New England, Vermont, and Maine. So, you know, if you're looking at northern New England, we're all about the same age. Massachusetts is a little bit younger than we are, in part because of in-migration and foreign in-migration. That tends to be a younger population that has more children than the existing populations in New Hampshire and Vermont and Maine. Yeah, I think that is playing a part in the economic slowdown and probably will in the future as well. People go through stages in their lives, and we had a big benefit in New Hampshire from lots of baby boomers moving in here in their 30s and 40s. Those are the years where you're really trying to create a lot of wealth, trying to move up the corporate ladder. You're creating your own business.
Buying a house, a new couch, a carpet,
all of that stuff. Those same people are now moving into their 60s, and like me, I'm 63, and I was born in 1950, and 70s. And those, and even your late 50s to your early 70s are the years where you're trying to hold on to what you have. So we're moving from a wealth creation generation to a wealth protection generation, and I think it's going to have a profound impact on New Hampshire's future economic growth.
Well, and though just looking at the information yesterday, Ross, a couple times I came across articles that said Vermont's doing very well economically, better than New Hampshire in some ways.
Yeah, well, Vermont has a very different economy than New Hampshire, and I mean, it just indicates that it's not just about the median age of the population. I think we in New Hampshire have a high concentration, as does Vermont, of baby boomers. And baby boomers, you know, are approaching, the oldest baby boomers now approaching 65. But people are working longer. People who are a little more mature had their lifetime savings. They benefited from a long period of housing price appreciation and equity, private equity and public equity appreciation. So people have relatively high savings, and that benefits the economy. Vermont's benefited from people, well-to-do, older baby boomers moving there for their second and third homes in the tourism industry in Vermont. We have a much more diversified economy than Vermont, but I don't see the demographics of New Hampshire, particularly Metro New Hampshire, the areas connected to the Boston metropolitan area, and that includes Rockingham, Hillsborough, Stratford, and Merrimack counties, as having a demographic problem as it relates to the economy. If you look, for example, at the two New Hampshires, as I'll describe them, the Metro New Hampshire, which includes the counties I just mentioned, if that was a separate state, it would rank 38th out of the 50 states in percentage of the population 65 or over. So it's not that aged a population. In contrast, northern New Hampshire, what I'll call rural New Hampshire, if it was a standalone state, would rank second of the 50 states in terms of percentage of the population over 65. So I don't think we could generalize or should generalize across the state as a whole about the influence of demographics on the strength, the vibrancy of the economy.
Bob Sanders, to you, and then back to our callers.
I just had to say that I just went on a bike trip through Vermont and New Hampshire with my daughter, and on the way back, we were going through Vermont, and there were all these like alternative and organic farms and solar panels galore. Like every five farms, you would see rows of solar panels. And then you come across the bridge and you go into Claremont and you see all these rusty hulks of, you know, for sale signs. It was like, you know, old and new economy or alternative and traditional. It was really a big contrast. And it's a very different economy. Though on the other hand, Claremont has a lot of working industrial and high-tech fields, but it's more the traditional kind of economy.
Two different economies there. All right, as Ross said, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org is the way for you to join us. And Glenn is calling from Somersworth. Hi, Glenn. Thanks for waiting. You're on the exchange.
Hello.
Hi.
My story is probably a little bit different than demographics. I'm 64. I have a master's degree. I've been seeking full-time employment for the last almost three years. And at best, I've come up with a part-time job at a Home Depot.
Wow.
And granted, my profession is in recreation and park management, so there's not a lot of calls for that. It seems to be that a lot of those agencies and organizations will not look at somebody my age. They just say, forget that.
Wow.
The other part of the frustration, a little bit of part of the frustration is that within my current current employer nationally, they put down a rule like has been on the media recently that all part-time employees may not work more than 29 hours a week, thereby avoiding them having to pay for the new health care reform that's going in. I'm pulling off of my retirement funds because I've worked for nonprofits most of my life. I don't have that much. And it's just a very frustrating situation. And so I appreciate any comments that the speakers may have.
Yeah,
I'll
Glenn,
take my answer off the air.
And good luck, okay? Yeah, that's really tough. And he's, Dennis, talking about two trends that we've talked about. One, the healthcare issue that Bob Sanders mentioned. Mm-hmm. Are companies or are they not capping workers at 29 hours because they don't want to pay for that new healthcare? But it was also interesting, he's got a master's degree in recreation and park management. This, to me, sounds like more of a public sector job, and those have been going down, Dennis, right?
Well, yeah, we've seen a decline in New Hampshire of about 5,000 public sector jobs.
It's a lot for a small state.
Since in the last 3 years, from July 2010 to about July 2013, so 4 years. And those jobs pay pretty well. The average wage, weekly wage for a public sector job in New Hampshire is about $867 a week, and that's pretty close to the New Hampshire average of $916 a week. I think really, though, what Glenn's sort of illustrating is the need, no matter what age you're at, to sort of retrain yourself for new jobs in the economy as they develop. And, that retraining happens, in your 20s, 30s, 40s, almost at any age. And but again, you can't get away from the fact that the economy is continually restructuring itself. I think you'll probably talk about that next week when you talk about the grocery stores. That's another sector where we've seen this movement from quality and convenience and as being important to the consumer to prices being important to the consumer. And again, the slowness in the economy, I think, is sort of driving that desire from consumers, and then it gets reflected on employers to think more about the price of things than convenience or quality of things.
Yeah, and can you also comment, Ross, on the decline in this public sector jobs? And, the state has had huge budget deficits over the last couple of years. That's why public sector jobs have had to be cut, both at the state and at the local level. I'd love your thoughts on that, Ross,
historically,
factor.
The government sector had provided some stable, good employment for people like Glenn and others, and that's no longer the case. The recession, the pressure on the federal budget, sequestration and its current influence on federal government hiring, part-time employment, people reducing their hours worked for the federal government, and on state and local government have had to cut back because of budgetary issues. But an important part of Glenn's situation is it's not just about getting any degree. He has a master's degree. It's about what field and what specialization you have. And what Dennis said is really important, that there's, the economy is dynamic, it's changing, there's new needs at the workplace. And our strongest growing programs at the community college system relate to where the job opportunities are in advanced manufacturing for technology workers in advanced manufacturing, cybersecurity, energy services and management, computer programming. And we have people with masters and bachelors who come back to school, to community college, for specific training in fields that are growing and where there's a demand for workers out there, as Bob spoke to earlier. So, you know, it's a difficult job market, labor market for people like Glenn. We help to fill some of those gaps and help people at the community college system. But you really need the appropriate skills and training. And then there's the job opportunity. So we're seeing that that's part of the mixed story we're seeing about the New Hampshire economy, is this mismatch or between the skills of people who are underemployed or unemployed and where employers are looking for workers.
Although, you know, and this gets into the whole issue of a skills gap, Ross, and obviously that's where you're at right now as chancellor of the community college system. We've talked to some analysts, though, Ross, who say that this skills gap is a myth, that it's actually that businesses have gotten super hyper picky because they can, because there are people still looking for jobs, that they'd rather hire a foreign worker than an American. What do you think about that? That the skills gap is,
Bob Sanders, who's out there in the field in his role with his publication, he's saying he talks to employers who, you know, there are jobs, there are growing areas. He's optimistic. And the missing piece is the skilled workers, and we hear that when we go around the state. So, you know, I think there are needs, and if I was a business person, I'd look for a highly skilled person who would be highly productive at the job so I could be competitive and stay in business and provide high-quality jobs. That's the nature of the economy. It's global, it's highly competitive, and you need skilled workers to compete effectively.
Sure.
So I think businesses have a right to be picky and make sure that the workers they employ have high skill levels and are productive and help them be competitive and stay viable.
Go ahead, Bob.
Just in terms of Ruger, for instance, they're building a new plant. It's in North Carolina, but they just can't hire as many engineers. They say, give me, I'll hire 15 good engineers tomorrow if I can find them.
Now, they still have a plant here in New Hampshire,
right? They have a plant.
They're a gun manufacturer.
They're a gun manufacturer. Some people may not want to work at a gun manufacturer, but they they are. That's just one example. And there's the companies like that are doing well. We're getting a lot of exports. They need to. There's a lot of expansion going on, but there is a limitation in terms of the number of workers.
So you're saying Ruger, when it decided to expand, didn't build another facility here in New Hampshire. They chose to go to North Carolina instead.
Right. Now, part of it is that they wanted to keep their plants small. So it's not just that.
All right. Well, a lot more to talk about after a short break. The number 1-800-892-6477. More of your calls and emails coming up. We'll be back in a minute.
This is The Exchange on NHPR. It's 9:39.
On the next Diane Rehm Show, how airline mergers affect consumers and local economies, then the impact of too much screen time on children and families. All coming up on the Diane Rehm Show.
The Diane Rehm Show this morning from 10 to noon on NHPR. Support for NHPR comes from you, our members, and from Heritage Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, offering tune-ups, repairs, and efficient air conditioning systems, including ductless AC for homes without ductwork, online at justcallheritage.com. And Fuller Gardens, located on the seacoast in Northampton, New Hampshire, where visitors can enjoy an estate botanical garden 7 days a week, online at fullergardens.org. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Tomorrow on The Exchange, reinventing the North Country. Email us your thoughts before the program at nhpr.org and join us tomorrow morning live at 9. Today, we're looking at New Hampshire's economy, some of the very positive trends that we've seen lately in terms of employment and housing and foreclosures. We've been looking at the other side of this story, too, though, workers who want full-time work but can only find part-time and so forth. The number 1-800-892-6477. That's the number for you to join us with your own personal take on how New Hampshire's economy is doing. 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange@nhpr.org. You can also post a comment on our Facebook page. And gentlemen, let's go right back to our callers. Andrew's waiting in Keene. Hi, Andrew. Go ahead.
Hi. As I've been listening to this, and as I've noticed when I've been searching for jobs, it seems like there's almost an overemphasis on manufacturing over other segments. I'm just wondering what your guests think of that.
Well, what kind of jobs are you looking for, Andrew?
I'm looking for, like, customer service, call center, administrative over others, but I'm willing to take almost any job that I can find.
Yeah, okay. Well, and Ross Cattell, I know you're sort of our manufacturing expert, so go ahead. What do you think?
There are job opportunities in manufacturing with the appropriate skills. I think some people have a misunderstanding that manufacturing workers, employees don't require high skills, but with computer numerically controlled equipment and manufacturing facilities, with a focus on quality assurance and testing, these are skills that have to be taught and then applied in the workplace. And so there are manufacturing job opportunities, which is a turnaround from the past in New Hampshire, where manufacturing employment has been declining. And you opened up the show, Laura, and said, you know, manufacturing employment is a sector that's growing in the New Hampshire economy. And you have the retirement of older workers in manufacturing that need to be replaced by skilled workers, younger workers. So there are those job opportunities. Some of the jobs that Andrew mentioned, the call centers, you know, those are easier to locate just at lower-cost states, lower-cost nations, and that's what happens. Manufacturing benefits in New Hampshire because we want to be close to skilled engineers and people who are inventing new products and new technologies. To have the manufacturing take place alongside the research and development is a real plus for advanced manufacturing, and that is a key element of New Hampshire's success in advanced manufacturing, the linking of the high-end research and development to actually the manufacturing process. And you can't move that, to places where there aren't the high-skilled engineers. The call centers, you could move any place in New Hampshire and all of New England. It's not a low-cost state, even with New Hampshire's so-called tax advantage. So, you know, maybe Andrew should kind of consider where the employment opportunities are in New Hampshire, where he wants to live, and how to get the appropriate skills and training to place where there are some good jobs available.
Yeah, well, Andrew, good luck. It's tough finding a job for sure. And again, the number for you to join us, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. And guys, we've talked a lot about jobs, and I want to return to something that Bob Sanders brought up earlier, and that's housing. Things are really picking up in housing, and you got to think that once they pick up in housing, they'll pick up in other sectors because there's this tie-in. What's driving this, Dennis? We're really seeing some impressive numbers in real estate.
Well, again, we are seeing some growth both in sales and in prices. The growth, most of the growth we saw in sales was last year. We saw about a 20% increase in home sales. This year, it looks like we're chugging along at about 5 to 6% annual rate of growth. Home prices actually really didn't recover until this year. Last year, home prices were relatively flat. Right now, again, we're seeing another 5 to 6% growth. And I think there's a lot of things driving it. I think one of the things that we've been talking about is a slowly improving economy. That helps the housing sector. The decline in bankruptcies, decline in foreclosures certainly helps the housing sector. There's, part of the foreclosure story has been the so-called shadow inventory that the banks have been holding of distressed properties that they haven't really wanted to introduce back into the market because they want to try to get full price for them. That inventory is being worked off. I think the next thing we're going to see is a return of the construction side of the housing industry. We have not seen that yet. We're still building homes at the rate of about 3,000 a year, and in a healthy economy, you'd expect to see New Hampshire do 6,000 to 7,000 a year. So I think that's coming. Really what we're probably going to be looking at going forward now is something not as quite as robust as we saw in 2005, 2008, up to 2008, but really a consumer-driven, housing-driven recovery in the overall economy.
Bob, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to chime in terms. I think the construction numbers are, they're usually several months behind at least. We've been seeing, my editor just told me that he especially has been seeing a lot of construction, just himself and also releases, and I've also been seeing a lot of development stories. We're building here, planning things. I think the feeling is that there is going to be a bit of a surge in the construction industry. Also, going back a while when we were talking about demographics, one of the bright spots of construction has been senior housing. I mean, everything's not bad. You know, there's nursing homes, there's mature communities. Those have been very. We've been hearing a lot of people keeping busy with that kind of stuff. So when they get old, there's downsizing. So there's a lot of revamping, making homes accessible, making them smaller, breaking them up, in-law apartments. I've been hearing a lot more activity than I think the numbers show.
Well, and looking again at Housing Ross, sales are at their highest level since June of 2005, and Dennis dug into that a little bit. But mid-2005 is also a time, Ross, which some of us later called the housing bubble.
Right.
Is that a possibility here? I mean, are we in danger of overheating again?
You know, the price, and this is Dennis's forecast for the New England Economic Partnership on the housing prices, the forecast is out to 2017, and NEEP, and Dennis's forecast is, and the housing price won't go back to its level pre-bust in New Hampshire, the average price, at any time in that forecast horizon. So it's not really a bubble. It's a slow appreciation or recovery back towards the price that housing was at its peak in New Hampshire. I think, you know, this kind of slow recovery in construction jobs is not good for the construction workers looking for employment, but it's a sign that we're not approaching a bubble situation. I think in New Hampshire we learn from the past that investors and speculators aren't, you know, engaged in the same way they were during the 2003, 2005 boom period. I think the housing market is slowly improving, and that's positive for homeowners and for the housing market and for the construction industry. But if you compare the figures, let's say construction employment 2005, 2006 to now, there is concern. But we don't want to see that bubble situation again in New Hampshire to have a strong, stable economy and growth.
The number for you to join our conversation on the New Hampshire economy, how it's going from your own viewpoint, is 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange@nhpr.org. Here's an email from Dennis. And Dennis DeLay, I think I'll give this to you first. Dennis says, in your discussion, you mentioned that Massachusetts has recovered all of their jobs since the recession, but New Hampshire has not. Even though we have not recovered all of our jobs, I was under the impression that we still have a lower jobless rate compared to Mass and one of the lowest of the country. And Dennis, thanks for that email. And Dennis DeLay, I'll give it to you.
Okay, so the unemployment rate in New Hampshire is still below the Massachusetts unemployment rate. What we've been talking about is the rate that you're adding jobs in the economy. And Massachusetts has been adding jobs overall at a faster rate than New Hampshire has. So they've gotten – Massachusetts has all the jobs back that they lost in the recession. They're still – Massachusetts is actually still below the peak employment that they had in the beginning of the last decade in 2001. They haven't reached that level yet. But, I think that's one aspect of things. The other aspect of things is the percent of the population or the labor force that is actually working. And in New Hampshire's case, there are more people working as a percentage of the overall population that can work than there is in Massachusetts. And that has more to do with demographic factors, the makeup of the population, educational attainment, foreign immigration, which is higher in Massachusetts than it is in New Hampshire. So there's a lot of things that are involved in that. We've been working with the Business and Industry Association in New Hampshire on an economic strategy plan for the state. And so we've been looking at a lot of numbers and a lot of indicators. New Hampshire, as it turns out, is doing pretty well and does pretty well on some of the things that are, you know, in its current state. You know, we have a very high level of educational attainment. We have one of the highest school graduation, high school graduation rates of the country. We have a high percentage of the population in science and engineering. So for all of those things, we look pretty good relative to the rest of the country. But if you look at the factors that are more forward-looking, like average student debt, and I know we've talked about that in past shows, capital investment projects, state debt per capita even, and energy prices, we rank towards the bottom.
Wow.
On all of those indicators. So if you're looking at New Hampshire in its current state, you can make a pretty good case that it's a fairly robust economy. However, if you look at New Hampshire in its future state, including what we've talked about in the slowdown in migration into New Hampshire, I think there's some things that need to be addressed in the future.
Well, and this relates to a policy studies report that you guys put out earlier this year, headwinds versus right. tailwinds. Right. I can't remember the exact title.
Well, things that that were tailwinds, like the baby boomer population, now are becoming headwinds because that baby boomer population is becoming older and potentially less productive than they were in their 30s and 40s.
And Bob, I know you want to jump in, and then Ross, I have another question for you. Go ahead, Bob.
A couple of things. One is that we just to echo is that I think we were rated as one of the best in the country in terms of our labor force, one of the worst in the country in terms of our infrastructure, particularly roads, transportation, getting goods around. So that's one thing. The other thing, in terms of Massachusetts and our kind of competitive in the high-tech sector, I think Massachusetts may have shot itself in the foot. We just did a story on this. They recently passed a sales tax, a tech tax, it's being referred to, of extending their sales tax to computer services. So now that the companies in Massachusetts have to, and some companies in New Hampshire who work with Massachusetts, but mainly Massachusetts, are going to have to pay a 6%. They're going to pass those services, of course, on to the customers. In a sense, we might have the whole the New Hampshire advantage with the convenience stores on the border for you know, cigarettes and so forth. Well, now we might have an advantage for our tech companies on the border.
Wow, I hadn't heard about that. That's really interesting. Yeah. Go ahead, Dennis, and then I want to go to Ross.
While I have Ross on the phone and can talk to him, can I ask Ross a question?
Sure.
Ross, in Massachusetts—
Do I get to ask a question back to you?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
In Massachusetts recently, they've just passed a program talking about a program tying the funding of community colleges in Massachusetts to performance. Things like improving graduation rates, looking at the state workforce needs, concentrating on helping minority students to thrive. And I'm kind of interested in your reaction to that. I know there's in the last budget cycle, the community colleges said they'd freeze tuition. In response to having a return to some of their funding, I'm wondering if New Hampshire colleges would go even further than that.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that question. When I was testifying in front of the various budget committees, I presented our performance data and talked about improving our performance and being accountable to the legislature. And we're very much data-driven, performance-based management, talking about graduation rates, employment of our graduates, aligning our programs, as I described earlier, with the needs of the economy. So we're a performance-based organization, working with the legislature, working with the governor's office, and really importantly, working with businesses, because we have to be accountable to businesses in the state to ensure a highly qualified workforce. So I'm all in favor of reporting to the legislature. We have our metrics. We're under the leadership of a strong board with representatives from different industries and from the nonprofit and governmental sector. So we're accountable to our performance measures. I think, Massachusetts, I'm glad they're following this path, but we're already on this path and have performance metrics that we use in the community college system.
I wanted to ask you, Ross, real quickly before we close out. Tomorrow here in the Exchange, we're going to continue our coverage of economic issues with a special look at the North Country and the economic transformation that's still underway there. Give us a little preview, Ross, if you could, of some of the issues that you expect will come up.
I mentioned earlier, looking at the so-called two New Hampshires, rural New Hampshire and then Metro New Hampshire, which Metro New Hampshire is connected to the Boston metropolitan area. So, we talked about the importance of a college education, an associate's degree or a bachelor's degree, to employment at the beginning of the show. And if Metro New Hampshire was a separate state. It would rank third of the 50 states in terms of percentage of the population adults with that college degree. With about 50% of adults with a college degree. In contrast, closer to a third of adults in rural New Hampshire, only a third have a college degree, and the state would rank about 30th in the nation in terms of percentage of adults with an associate's or a bachelor's degree. And that's reflected in other figures in personal income per capita. Metro New Hampshire would rank fifth in the nation of the 50 states. Rural New Hampshire would rank 20th in percentage of the population, 25 to 44, which is a key age group. The rural New Hampshire would rank 50th, last in the nation, with only 23% of the population, 25 to 44, whereas Metro New Hampshire would rank 34th, which is still not as strong as we probably like it to be. But it's very different, these two New Hampshires, and it affects the economic future for what we're calling rural New Hampshire.
All right, and we will be looking at that again tomorrow. And Ross, I want to thank you very much for being with us today.
Oh, thank you, Laura.
Ross Cattell, Chancellor of the Community College System of New Hampshire and New England Forecast Manager at the New England Economic Partnership. Dennis DeLay, thank you also for being here. Really
great
appreciate it.
Great to be here. Thanks, Laura.
Dennis DeLay, Economist at the New Hampshire Center for Public Policy Studies and New Hampshire Forecast Manager at the New England Economic Partnership. And Bob Sanders, good to see you. Thank you also.
A pleasure.
Bob Sanders, longtime reporter at New Hampshire Business Review. The Exchange is a production of NHPR. The engineer is Dan Colgan. This week, it's David Darman. Our producer is Ellen Grimm. Our volunteers are Priscilla Malcolm and Alan Cohen. Our interns are Faith Meixel and Tim Camerato. Our theme music was composed by Bob Lord. The Exchange's executive producer is Keith Shields. And I'm Laura Kanoi.
The views expressed in this program are those of the individuals and not those of NHPR, its Board of Trustees, or its underwriters. If you missed any part of today's program, listen to The Exchange anytime at nhpr.org.
I'm Laura Kanoi, and tomorrow on The Exchange, reinventing the North Country. For a century dominated by the wood, pulp, and paper industry, today those sectors have almost died out, and now many see the region in the midst of an economic makeover, moving away from its paper past. But what that future should look like is still a huge discussion. Is it tourism, high-tech, manufacturing, government, or all of the above? Email us at nhpr.org and join us for The Exchange, tomorrow morning live at 9 and again at 8 p.m. on NHPR.
This is NHPR. The Diane Rehm Show is next. Support for NHPR comes from you, our members, and from Comcast Business, lending support and applauding the work of organizations such as the ABI Innovation Hub. Additional information at abihub.org. And Great Waters Music Festival in Wolfboro, presenting singer, songwriter, and worldwide country music icon Laurie Morgan, August 16th at 8. Tickets at greatwaters.org.
These are the stations of New Hampshire Public Radio.
WEVO Concord 89.1.
WEBS Nashua 88.3.
WEVH Hanover 91.3.
WEVN Keene 90.7.
WEVC Gorham 107.1.
WEVJ Jackson 99.5.
WEVF Colebrook 90.3.
WEVQ Littleton 91.9.
And online at nhpr.org.
From WAMU and NPR in Washington, I'm Diane Rehm. The Department of Justice took most everyone by surprise yesterday. Along with six states and the District of Columbia, it sued to block the merger of American Airlines and U.S. Airways. The two airlines were just days away from a bankruptcy court.